Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.
You're currently listening to the free version of Let Me Talk.
If you want longer, ad-free episodes, even earlier, head to lmtpod.com to find out how to subscribe.
Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk!
Let me talk! 1, 2!
Well, sometimes the ball just bounces in the right way. Kyle Walker grabbed 2 assists in a game for the first time. Kevin De Bruyne scored his first header in the Premier League. And the VAR had a night off. That was supposed to be one of their tough games, one Arsenal fan I know tweeted. Looks like City are in battle mode again. Let's go. This is Let Me Talk. I'm David Mooney. With me is the Athletic City correspondent, Sam Lee. Hello, Sam.
All right.
Yeah, not a bad evening in Brighton on the South Coast, all told, really?
Yeah, in and out. Although, I'm still in the in process, I guess. An unexpectedly early recording to get all the juices in. What am I talking about? It's because I can see Mark Goldbridge's face on my screen, and it's somewhat distracted me because I half want to watch it and half never want to see that face ever again. So it's a confusing mixture of
emotions that you've got.
But let's focus on proper coverage of Manchester City, which is what we're here for.
Yes.
And some of the other things I've seen on Twitter this evening.
Well, I don't know where to take that, but I'll just go with the performance then, because the one thing that I thought was imperative from the performance at Brighton was that City showed again that they were in the right rhythm. And Guardiola said that on TV afterwards. They found the right rhythm, especially in that first half. And yeah, the goals came because of that. But ultimately, like, the performance was like it was. As I said at the start, they are in battle mode. You can see it now, and I'm fully confident in saying that that's where they're at.
Yeah. I sent you that. Speaking of Twitter, this wasn't such a clumsy way to bring in Twitter, having just talked about nameless dickheads on it, but
this isn't a nameless dickhead, but this is a mate of mine. Yeah
exactly. Yeah, that I sent you a tweet from your mate Dave, who I follow as well, who had said, like, you know, the performances up until the Madrid game, you know, Villa, Palace, Luton, those kind of things, hinted that City were getting there, getting into the flow of things. But after Madrid and Chelsea, he wasn't quite sure. And I sent it to you saying, this is an interesting tweet, this, because I disagree, because for me, you know, Villa, Palace, Luton, really good games. Real Madrid, really good game. They were absolutely dead on their feet against Chelsea. And I had no concerns about this game. You know, I think you might have even been able to tell from how I talked about it after the Chelsea game, you know, that few extra, well, I say extra days, a bit of time to recover after Chelsea, get rid of all the sadness from the Madrid, focus on getting to a final. And then, obviously, they could actually focus on this Premier League game, and then Forest. I genuinely had no concerns about this at all. Forest might be tricky. I do expect them to win, but Forest, I think, might be their toughest game, because I do feel like beating Spurs might not be that. Two things about the Spurs game. I feel like beating Spurs might not be necessary by that point, but if it is,
I hope it isn't. I hope you're right.
No, I know, but you're telling me with like 4 days of the season to go, City aren't going to win against Spurs. They'll do it. well, I've been saying this about the Spurs away game for ages. Like, I want to see City go there in battle mode, and it doesn't get much more battly than the penultimate game of the season. So, see, but I never had any concerns about this game because I've just seen a team that's been really good now for a while. And then obviously the Chelsea game had massive mitigating circumstances. Mm. But regardless of how, because obviously, because you agreed more with the tweet. And again, that's why I thought it was genuinely interesting. Point
yeah,
of view.
So let me
again,
read
regardless
it.
Of who was right and wrong. Okay, yeah, but regardless yeah. who was right or wrong, they did immediately click in, like you said. But yeah, read it out.
Yeah, so Dave said, it would be really nice, it would be a really nice time to hit some kind of proper form tonight to show that we're really up for these last six games. Feels like we've not had a consistent run of it all season. Villa, Palace and Luton games alluded to it, and then Madrid and Chelsea sort of left me not knowing where we are. And it's that last line that I kind of really connected with, not knowing where we are, because I agree with you. I think the Madrid game, I thought they were great and unlucky to not get through the tie. The Chelsea game, obviously, I agree with you. They have the massive mitigating circumstances of the tiredness. But where I think we fall down on different sides of the fence is that I feel like those two mitigating circumstances for both of those games could end up being like a momentum killer and could be the sort of thing that, like, just again disrupts the rhythm and the momentum that you've generated over those Villa, Palace and Luton games. So it was really, really good to see. I mean, what was the opening goal inside 13 minutes or so? It was really good to see them just kind of take the game to Brighton immediately, do that thing where they killed the crowd. I mean, Brighton had a chance early on with Welbeck, but aside from that, it was very much City going, we're not going to force this, but we're going to kind of keep you under pressure and keep you in your half. And then, you know, Walker over to De Bruyne and everything feels a lot more comfortable. And I've spent the whole of Thursday, Sam, feeling quite anxious about this game. It's really one of those games that I thought, I know Brighton are struggling with injuries and I know they've got players out, but this could be a tricky game, especially after having just had a really tiring game against Chelsea and going out to Madrid.
Yeah, well, I get it. I mean, for a start, it's natural for fans to feel that way. Also, you know, in a title race, you can never be quite sure. But again, like, you know, I saw the reaction to the City team and certain concerns. And even when they lined up, I was like, oh, I could see Alvarez missing some chances tonight. I was like, if Foden and De Bruyne have got the same, you know, this is the negative outlook, have got the same finishing as they had against Real Madrid. Well, De Bruyne obviously did score one. But you know what I mean? If I was like, I can see a lot of wastefulness there, if it's this or if it's that. And obviously all the things online about, okay, there's not much pace in the lineup and, okay, not sure about this and players on the bench and blah. But then it's like, look at Brighton and they've got nothing. Like, they've got nothing left. Yeah. Like, so it's like City's lack of rest and all these kind of things is, it's like, it's all legit. But then you look at a Brighton team who have just got nothing left. They're knackered and they've got no players left. And like no pace. See when Pascal Gross ran in behind,
and Akanji just went. No.
Immediately, I was like, "Is he quick?" And I was, "Oh no, he isn't." Like before the thought, he was that slow. Before the thought could even formulate in my mind, he'd been caught, and it didn't matter anymore. Like exactly. Like, I had no doubts about City, but also like you got to look at it and think they've not got much left. Brighton again, like Forest. Meanwhile. It'd be tricky that, not least because they're getting, look, fucking hell. It was the same, like Brighton, again, the fans come away moaning about the ref. Oh, it's the ref again, is it? When your team's just got battered. Like, it's not the ref. Like, well, people would have seen my tweets. I thought the Guardiola one could have been a penalty, blah, 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 or whatever. But like, everything was like, oh, we did a free ass. But like, Forest have got that energy and the game hasn't even started yet. Like, that is going to be like a bit of a cauldron on Sunday. Like, that might not be ideal. But that's all bridges to cross later on.
Yeah.
But this game, that's the thing. Up and went, we're doing this.
Yeah. That's the thing. You've got to give yourself the opportunity to cross that bridge. That's the thing that City have done this evening. They went to Brighton and they went, okay, well, that is a bridge that we will have to cross. But, you know, like there's two ways to deal with this. Either we get there and we have to cross it, or we don't bother trying to cross it because we've shit out earlier on. And that you just don't, like, they went to Brighton and it was just one of those kind of no questions asked. Like I said in the intro, I saw an Arsenal fan, a friend of mine, tweet like at 3-0, this was supposed to be one of their tough games. I'm switching it off. There's no point in watching the end of this. And that, like, I don't think I can express the comfort that that gives me in a title race. Like, the idea that, because I've spent years, especially with Liverpool, watching Liverpool games, thinking, I hope they drop points in this one, and then they scab a last-minute winner. Like, the fact that there's been no scabbing here from City, it was a case of, okay, well, we'll get the job done early, and then we'll pass it around for a bit for a large part of the second half, and everything will be fine. That, like, looking from the outside, that must just be so demoralising.
Yeah, for sure. People talk about the psychology of title races. You know, we've seen in the City documentary when they've been at the training ground and they're watching Arsenal games, or the Arsenal games have been on or whatever. But it's like, you know, there'll be games that Arsenal have won, and you think, oh, fucking hell. So Forest last year, obviously City should have been like 3 or 4 nil up at least by the time that Forest equalised with the first shot on the target with 4 minutes to go. But like, that was when Arsenal were losing to Villa, and then they ended up scoring two late goals, Arsenal yeah. did.
And one of them was one of those ridiculous ones where I think it hit the bar yeah. and then it Martinez and went in.
Hit Martinez on the back of the edge, yeah. And then Martinelli scored on the break and was able to celebrate before the ball had crossed the line. It was that kind of, okay, we thought Arsenal were going to drop points. They've actually got a really big win here. So there's going to be that scenario. You know, that might be the case on Sunday if they beat Spurs, because I think certainly City fans will be looking at that thinking, fuck, Spurs could do a favour here, then it doesn't matter too much about Forest, but then it just rolls over, doesn't it? But like, it's funny because, so yeah, like seeing other fans or even other players seeing City do that, it will demoralise them. But it's funny how it changes, because then Arsenal beat Chelsea 5-0 and you think, bloody hell, and then Liverpool lose and suddenly like everything just seems a bit lighter. The world seems not so bad, and it's partly because you think, well, if City don't win it, at least Liverpool probably won't. So there's that element of it, but it just like, it does just feel like, oh, okay, like, things aren't that bad. And it was the same when Liverpool drew with United the other week. It was like, well, Arsenal are still in this, but that does make life feel a bit better. Arsenal play before City again at the weekend, so it's just going to go around in circles again. And again, that is genuinely their toughest one now, Arsenal. You know, Spurs away. We've just seen what Everton did to Liverpool. And obviously, Liverpool aren't in a great place, but it's the same scenario, isn't it? It's the local rivals trying to like, give everything to stop the title. And everyone's going to hold out hope for that. But yeah, to see City just go and tick off the wins. But that's why, you know, that's why Goldbridge is fucking fuming, isn't it? And that's why everyone's going to talk, just like feels it's inevitable. Because for years, people, you know, you're talking about Liverpool scabbing wins and stuff. In reality, been a long time since that was relevant. Like, obviously, this season, you know, again, Forest getting a lot of mentions, but that win, Liverpool got a Forest, I was sick, man, when they got that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, we talk about that Arsenal one at Villa last season, and at the time, you're like, oh, God, but it's like, it was February. It was early, that. And that Liverpool one at Forest was early. Last season, they were nowhere near it. And it was the season before when Liverpool went close to City. Like, it's been a while since. You know, I think it's the spectre of Liverpool which is haunting people at the moment, or up until recently. It's not the actual current Liverpool, because they're not the same as before.
Yeah, they're just not very.
And you know, with Klopp going, and hopefully they won't be again for a long time. But
yeah,
we'll see.
It's I mean, I know we're dancing around the title race, but while we're kind of doing that at the minute, obviously, the Madrid to the Chelsea game was Wednesday to Saturday. Obviously, there was a lot more football played in the Madrid game for that one, but it was obviously home and then to Wembley. For this one, Guardiola was on TV after the game talking about the fact that City will probably get back on Thursday, Friday morning at about 2 a.m. They then have effectively Saturday to prepare the Forest game, and then they have to fly to Forest Sunday morning. Now, the turnaround isn't ideal. I guess that makes the second half even more crucial, the fact that he could just bring on a load of, like you said, the Phillips threshold was reached, and he could change the entire team, and they could just pass it around for a bit, because that's probably quite important there, isn't it?
Yeah, and I remember speaking to Rodri. Rodri did an interview in the Mix Zone after the Newcastle game in the FA Cup, and, you know, he's always asked about rest, because he always talks about it. But he said, you know, like, as well as other stuff that he's doing, he said when City go 3 or 4 nil up, they can also play at a, you know, a less dynamic speed and he can rest. And obviously when City go 3 or 4 nil up, he normally comes off anyway. But then, you know, like you say, from the start of the second half up until the point when that threshold is met, you know, they do play in a different rhythm, a different tempo. And, you know, people are talking about goal difference and stuff, but also it's like, well, probably the biggest factor is slowing things down. Obviously, you know, if you keep doing the things right, then you get chances anyway. And obviously, right at the end, City could have got 5, couldn't they? There was a couple of chances. But the most important thing is probably that rest and recovery. Mm. But again, in terms of having to go to Forest, you would like to think... you would like to think they're not going to be as exhausted as last Saturday, because you'd think they wouldn't get off the hook twice. But I think you can ask them to make the effort again, because they've got a whole week to then rest and recover and prepare for Wolves at home. Okay, without, you know, again, so I've said this before, but now we've got it in the context of this. You've just laid out getting back late, prepare for the game on Saturday, fly down, blah, blah, blah. Imagine they had to think about, yeah, but who's going to play against Bayern Munich on Wednesday night? Or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like, could you imagine? Obviously, again, and Guardiola said it in before the game, you know, all these problems with not enough rest and players being tired and too many games. He goes, I would much rather have that. I'd much rather be in the Champions League semi-final and have all that than not. And they would. But given they haven't, think about how much of a luxury it is, really, not to have to worry about that. And all they have to focus on, I say all, is just getting players ready to give a big push against Forest. But again, you're playing away against Brighton, which might finally bring us back to the game, where all your players are funneled down the middle. Maybe you can have Grealish on the left and Doku on the right at Forest.
Approach it differently, yeah.
And suddenly you've got much fresher legs there. Rodri will go again. Foden will go again. Bernardo will go again. De Bruyne will probably go again. And all of a sudden, like, one of those might even sit on the bench anyway. And if Alvarez carries on up front, or if Haaland's back, which didn't sound too likely. But yeah, it's just, you know, they got over the line against Chelsea. Again, they were a bit lucky to do so. But also, they also had that emotional factor of losing to Madrid and all that sadness that Guardiola talked about, which they don't have now. So yeah, it's going to be a tricky game. Forest will have all that momentum from just being angry at the world, which, you know, we can laugh at, but I see similarities to City's 115 charges.
Yeah,
that kind of brought everyone together.
Yeah,
and you know, Forest, the fans will be even more up for it. You don't know, the players might be too. Decent chance they will be, because, you know, they're going to be pissed off about the decisions as well. That stuff's normal. It's just normally there's not an owner at a football club willing to put out statements like that. The sentiment among the players will be the same. But yeah, it's just another challenge to go. And, you know, if they were to tick that off... I mean, look, I'm not getting ahead of myself at all, because, like I say, I think this will be tricky. And if Arsenal beat Spurs, it wouldn't massively surprise me. But imagine, if it goes the other way and it's like that day when City beat Everton and Guardiola's going, was it 3 more or whatever, and then Arsenal lose at Brighton. Sorry, at home to Brighton afterwards. And you come out of it thinking, oh, well, okay. Yeah, it could be one of those days. You know, to go back to your question about demoralising other teams when City just tick off a victory. Imagine Arsenal drop points and then City beat Forest.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Do you remember who killed Arsenal's title challenge last season? Who actually confirmed
was it Arsenal being crap? It was Forest, yeah.
It was at Forest, yeah, yeah.
How are they getting so many mentions, Forest?
I don't know.
It's boogeyman over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's what this stage of the season does to you. Speaking of boogeyman, the goal difference thing you mentioned, Guardiola was asked about it on TV.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah, he was asked about it on TV. And good to put a few goals in to kind of catch up the goal difference a little bit. And you should have seen the face he pulled.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was just
it's irrelevant.
Yeah, he's just like, it's not happening on goal difference, lads. Don't even consider it.
They're 8 goals behind, but also, and this is just partly because I'm stupid, but there's a point difference now. But then there's a point difference, or there'll be 2 points if we say City win the game in hand. How many different permutations are we going through for it to finish level on points and then goal difference?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, we're worrying about the wrong thing here.
Well, it's City, it's Arsenal win them all and City win them all but one and draw that other one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think.
Oh God,
I don't know. Why are we talking about this? This is irrelevant.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter. Like, just win the games.
Coming up after a short ad break, there'll be more analysis of the win at Brighton. We'll be singing the praises of Phil Foden, and we'll hear what Guardiola had to say about him. And we'll talk about bravery in possession, both in and out of the press.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let Me Talk is sponsored by you, the listeners.
The best way to support the podcast is by subscribing via Memberful.
You can pay as little as £2 per month, which gives you early access to all our podcasts ad-free, and they're packed with even more content.
That gives you even more minutes of us to fill up your week.
Subscribing is really easy, and the longer episodes will integrate seamlessly with your podcast app of choice, be it Spotify or Apple. Head over to lmtpod.com for more information on signing up and links to all of our socials.
Should we talk about Phil Foden then in that case? Because
well, yeah, okay. If we'll talk about Foden, I'll talk about it in the same way that Guardiola did in the press conference. So go on, ask a question and I'll give you the same answer regardless of what the question is.
Okay, well, I was just going to say, I was going to reel off some stats basically. 24 goals for City this season if you include the Club World Cup, 23 if you don't. 50th and 51st Premier League goals scored. He scored more for City than Eric Cantona did for United. There you go.
That's a good one, isn't it? That's one of those oily sailor stats.
Yes.
Like, when it's like Erling Haaland has now scored as many goals as Peter Beagrie, whatever it is. It's that kind of thing, isn't it? It's like, this amazing player has now scored as many hat-tricks or goals as this dickhead. So yeah, Guardiola was asked, like, you know, Foden and De Bruyne, they're amazing, aren't they? Why are they so good together? And first of all, he was like, it's the quality. The quality they have. Is like, come on, give us a bit more. But he was like, the way, and this is my whole thing about the game, really, because you know I've talked about the fullbacks going wide and funneling everything through the middle and how that can be really good. He's got six amazing players in the middle. And like when it was against Brentford, it was, you know, it was Haaland instead of Kovacic. So when you list those players out, you're like, bloody hell. Like Rodri, Foden, Bernardo, De Bruyne, Alvarez, Haaland. Now that's mad. And like to be fair to Haaland, he's not been in great form, but if he'd been playing tonight, he'd have loved it. He might have missed loads of chances or he might have scored loads, but he'd have loved the type of game. But you add Kovacic in, I think I was not quite so starstruck, but what Kovacic is especially good at is getting out of pressure and holding onto the ball under pressure and having one touch to get through it, maybe two touches to track somebody in. And it was just get everyone in the middle, drop Bernardo in next to Kovacic and Rodri. And so when Guardiola was asked about Foden and De Bruyne and their link-up in attack, he was like, yes, because Rodri, Kovacic and Bernardo and the two centre-backs, he said they did it brilliantly. So then they provoked the spaces for the other two. And that was the big thing I noticed. Like, you know, I've said this a lot over the years, but those type of players, they just know exactly how many touches you need to have in a given scenario. Like Bernardo just knows instinctively. Like Rodri knows. Kovacic knows. Like it might be one. I'm sure that was just after the second half started. I mean, this is obviously just a dummy, but it was like Rodri, it was just such a good dummy. It was like, well, that's just a no touch pass to Kovacic. That's just opened up another avenue on the edge of the City box. Like, he might have to take five touches to attract two players to him. And then as soon as they get there, he's going to go, nope. And he'll pass it to Kovacic. And then he's either going to have to go back or go to Bernardo, and Bernardo can go back. But if they've got because they've sucked in enough men, because they've taken enough touches and played enough ping ball passes between each other, and they got space for Haaland and they got space for De Bruyne and Foden or Alvarez to receive the ball in space and turn. That was the game. That was the entire game. And it was funny because Guardiola was saying before the game, because they've been occupying a lot of my time, you know, thinking about what they're going to do. And he goes, and the way that De Zerbi's so meticulous, he'll be looking at the weaknesses we've got. And he was like, when we play them, they'll take us to areas on the pitch where we're uncomfortable, and we've got to be, you know, patient in those situations. But also, we've got to take them to areas they're uncomfortable with. And it just seemed like they were like, well, we're just gonna deal with this phenomenal pressure, actually, by asking phenomenal players just to absorb it. Just absorb it, absorb it, absorb it. And, you know, if you lose the ball in the middle of the pitch, they're going to be counter-attacking. Foden tried that turn after about 5 minutes, lost it, and you think, fuck me, this could be difficult.
That could have been what finished with Welbeck's shot, couldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it may have been. Because even that was unlucky. It was like the pass was intended for somebody else. Akanji got something on it, and then it fell to Welbeck on the edge of the box, and you think, how's your luck? But obviously, the contact wasn't that clean, and Edison saved it. We probably won't mention this again, but Edison was good, by the way. Mm. But yeah, you just absorb that pressure. And then the other side of, you know, Guardiola saying we got to try and take them to areas of the field where they're not comfortable as well, other than like De Bruyne being marked and then just running over to the left wing to drag everyone out of position, was like, I think it was this season. It's that stage of the season now where it feels like a long time ago. But when West Ham went to Brighton, when Brighton were doing really well at the start, and, you know, obviously the whole Brighton thing is foot on the ball, bait the press, bring them in. And they were doing it brilliantly they did it brilliantly a lot, but particularly in the first 15 minutes. But like, even then, they couldn't get anywhere, could they? But West Ham's solution to that was, we're just not going to pressure then. We're not going to play this game. Like, that would make us uncomfortable. It would make you comfortable. We're not going to do it. And they counter-attacked. And was it 3-0 in the end? Or, Brighton did score.
They won, like, really comfortably. 3-1 or 4-1
or something.
But like,
just like a horrible British football counter-attacking against like Continental playing out from the back.
And West Ham had like 15% possession or something, like one of those really ugly sort of away wins.
Well, yeah, because that's it. Like, you know, like Guardiola saying they're going to make us feel uncomfortable. But like West Ham were like, well, they're not going to make us feel uncomfortable because we're just not going to pressure, so crack on. But Guardiola's not going to sit back and go low block and counter-attack, is he? Which is kind of what I believe. If this wasn't what Arsenal did against Chelsea the other night, it's in low block and they played defensive football. But like, they just went, well, Chelsea's forwards are no good, so let's give them the ball and then we'll rip them apart. You know, City aren't going to do that. But what they did against Brighton was, well, we are going to play to your strengths, but we're going to do it in such a way that you feel uncomfortable. We're going to put so many men up there. And I'll let you make this point that you made just before we recorded, because it wasn't one I thought about, but you know what I mean. But they put so many men up there, they committed so many men to it with such ferocity and patience and organisation, so that, you know, if Brighton could get free, they kind of had two men at right back that were free, and it was like, well, where are you going from here? He's going to play the ball down the line to Welbeck, and Ake is just going to take it off him. So they just organised it in such a way that it was like, okay, well, you can play your game, but we're just not going to fall for it. We're going to force you to do it over and over again until we nick the ball on the edge of the box and make it 3-0, which is what they did. And obviously, you did make that point beforehand, which I will now throw over to you to make now to the listeners.
I like the way that what you've done there is you go, Mooney doesn't really say much on these podcasts of note where or insight. So when he said something insightful, we'll let him have it.
No, well, you don't say much. You normally ask me questions. But before, when we were talking, you said that and I was like, oh, do that more often.
Yeah, so I was really impressed with the way that, like you say, City were just really happy to push forward and drift into the higher positions with the press, because they just outpaced Brighton up front, and they were like if Brighton played their way through the press and got themselves free, City could just go, okay, well, all of our back four are quicker than you, so we'll just come back and take it off you then. So no problems there.
Yeah, which I suppose was that gross example, which was a gross example in some ways, because it was certainly exaggerated. But
Gail Clichy on TV pointed out one where it might have been the goal, actually. It might have been Foden's second goal that made it 3-0. But there was basically Brighton had a 3-on-2 on City on the halfway line. City had pushed that many players forward. But ultimately, they just couldn't find the pass out because City were just swarming them everywhere. And there was one moment, I can't remember who lost possession, but whoever lost possession had a pass into the centre of the pitch that could have set up a basically 4-on-2 counter-attack for Brighton. And City were just kind of like, well, go on then. If you fancy it to do it, do it. Like, we're fairly sure we can catch you. So over to you. Mm-hmm. Can you make that pass? And the answer was no.
Yeah, it's brave in and out of possession. It's a brave approach by the manager. The players put in the effort for a start. You know, and all the recent talk about exhaustion to go again and do it. The commitment to it. And then again, on the ball, like we said before, with Rodri and Kovacic and Bernardo, these guys taking loads of touches to attract them in, knowing that they might have 2 or 3 men on their back. But if they do that and they hold on to it, then you've got the advantage because you're just taking those 2 or 3 out of the game. And then you, like, as Guardiola will say a lot, then you've got De Bruyne and Foden who can run. And fuck me, they can run.
Yeah. Just while we were kind of, again, we've kind of drifted away from Foden a little bit, but I want to bring us back to it because I want to hear what Guardiola said in the press conference afterwards about him, because I thought it was fascinating. So this was Guardiola on Foden's role and his performance.
Phil have a 6th gear, but he cannot play all the time with 6th gear. Had to play with the 2nd and the 3rd, and I think with the time he will learn that today was much better than the 2 or 3 days before. Everything is going so quick. No. Football has to say sometimes slower to make quicker after to surprise the opponent. And today was really good in the movement up in the right moment he attacked when he needs have to attack. But it's a question of time. He will understand the game through years and years and experiences. And it's going to take him, but he loves to play, and of course, the sense of goal is there, and his work ethic is unbelievable. How he runs and press and do it, and yeah, in that terms, we are really pleased and happy for him, and congratulate him, and hopefully he can. In the last month we have ahead of us, he doesn't stop.
You mean his 6th gear? You mean playing at that level, like choosing his level, playing at the you know, picks and chooses when he dominates games?
No, listen, I would love to go in 6th gear every single action, but after you are less precise and you are 6th gear, you lose the ball all the time, that is not effective. And sometimes you have to reduce the moment, you have the moment, he has to know when he has to be aggressive and has to be more calm. But it's a question of time. He improved a lot in that terms for the beginning of the season and the previous seasons. So maybe with the 3rd kid he's coming in his family, maybe we'll help him.
There we go. And it is, when you think about kind of like the way that the energy in a game peaks and troughs and the momentum swings and stuff like that, I kind of get the car driving analogy because you kind of pick your gear based on the job that you're doing. If you're going round a corner, drop it into 2nd. If you need to be ultra aggressive in the press, pop it into 6th.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just good for me because, you know, I always say, like I was saying recently, I know... And I always get the feeling that City need to be in this scenario now where they're under pressure to be at their best. And then Guardiola said it after the Luton game. I was like, oh, perfect. Now I've got it in black and white. That's the quote I was looking for. If it ever existed, I couldn't find it. Or it's just too kind of oblique to have actually found the perfect quote. But then when Guardiola said it then, it was, oh, there we go. This is kind of what he's been saying for years. I've always had to refer to Guardiola talking about gears in Foden's game without actually having a quote to go with it. But there it is. But also, it's just interesting that he's kind of still talking about it now because obviously Foden has like graduated into playing in midfield for Guardiola. Guardiola is trusting him in midfield, even with the defensive responsibilities and the gears and all this kind of stuff. Like it is a thing, you know. Foden playing in midfield is not the future; it is now. But it's just interesting that he still mentioned that when, you know, it was an open goal to say, like after the derby, you know, after the derby when he was like, he's the best player in the Premier League, he's winning games, and I'm not comparing him to Messi, but Messi used to win games and now he's doing that. And then he was like, oh yeah, you know, gears. And also recently, he's not been doing it. But again, you know, that is Guardiola, isn't it? You know, he will keep on top of them. I just thought it was interesting. Firstly, I thought it was interesting that he said it now. But secondly, I just thought this is like the perfect encapsulation of everything that he's been saying about Foden for years, but also that we have at a time, you know, when you know, the Southgate stuff earlier in the season when it was, oh, what a fucking idiot. I was like, well, Guardiola thinks the same. And I think they're both right. But obviously, yes, since then, there has been this massive change and it's got to the point now, you know, if I can add some insight from the press box, I think a lot of people are voting for him for Player of the Year. And I know that's just the Football Writers one, which I don't have a vote for because I'm not a member, because that stuff doesn't really interest me. Probably will do if I end up getting sacked, though, and I need a union.
is that on the cards? Is that a genuine fear at this stage?
No. Well, it's a genuine fear that, you know, when you're happy with something, you're worried that something's going to go wrong if you're a maniac. But, I mean, the PFA one is the main one, isn't it? The PFA one is the more prestigious one. But he's going to be up there because, like, it's normally going on reputation, isn't it? But, like, Salah and Van Dijk, they're not going to be getting the votes. And, you know, maybe someone looks at Arsenal and go, okay, well, Arsenal have been great, so it's going to be Declan Rice. Rice will get votes. Palmer will get votes. But Foden, not every time, is it? Did he have a great game against Real Madrid? Not really. Did he have a great game? Not really. But, you know, for the last 2 months in particular, since that Brentford hat-trick, he's been fucking on fire. So he's picking up them votes.
Yeah, just as an aside, I had a quick look. Once he got off the mark for City this season, he's never gone longer than 4 games without a goal.
Okay. I wonder if Cantona ever managed such a feat. makes you think. Can I just throw something in massively left field, just to make us all feel hugely old?
Go on.
I've just seen a tweet. I don't know why it came up now, because it's from April the 19th, but it's from my colleague who covers Arsenal. And it says, this weekend marks 15 years since Andrea Shavin scored 4 goals at Anfield.
Oh, don't... 15
years?
Why have you done that?
15 years?
I remember where I was as well. I was in a pub in Preston.
Oh, was that uni?
Yeah.
Okay, 15 years.
But although... What's 15 years? Yeah, I might have left uni by this point. It might have been a uni reunion.
Okay. But 15 years. That
would have been 21.
I mean, so this is... I mean, this might not be any fun for anyone else, but it might be. Yeah, that's really... I saw it and I was just like, that can't be right. Like, first of all, I was like, the maths on that can't be right. Like, how long ago was this? But yeah, 15 years. There we go. Well done, everyone. The grave beckons.
That's it for the free version of Let Me Talk. There is more for members, though. Go to lmtpod.com if you want to sign up for those longer ad-free episodes. What is in this one for members, Sam?
Yeah, loads, as always. The quality of De Bruyne's header. People talking nonsense about competing with City for a change. Bit of Kyle Walker, the good stuff, and the less bad stuff than usual. That's a bit harsh. A bit of luck with the refereeing at times, but generally it was just moaning. Akanji, Nunes, Kovacic, all of that, and a ridiculous ending, as always.
As always, yes. That is all for members. If you want to sign up, then head over to lmtpod.com for details. While you're there, just click on the button for longer ad-free episodes and follow the steps there. After April, that will be the only way to listen to the show. The free versions will be coming to an end after the analysis episode for the Nottingham Forest game this weekend. It costs just £2 per month, or you can get it slightly cheaper by signing up for a full year at £20. Head over to lmtpod.com to sign up.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere.
acast.com.